Alright, hey guys, a little disclaimer before we get this episode started. My audio and my mic cut out, so bear with me. I'm still trying to figure out all of this podcasting stuff. I've got the camera angles down, I just gotta get the audio down. So let's get into the episode.
Welcome to Reloading with Brittany Scoble. I am your host, Brittany Scoble. Don't get it twisted. Okay. And today we have a special guest with us, my friend Maddie Munding. Hello, welcome.
Hi.
We're going to get into Maddie and all about Maddie, who she is, where she's from, and specifically, she's a female welder from this great state of New York.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it that great.
And we will get more into why she says it's not so great. But let's get started and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, guys. As Brittany said, I am 23. I am born and raised in Rochester, New York. I am a female welder. And I met Brittany and Austin online. And that's kind of how we became friends.
She walked into my house as a stranger.
Yep.
She literally did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that weird.
It's not weird. At the time, it was weird. Like, my parents were freaking out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. They had your location. They were constantly FaceTiming you, constantly giving you phone calls.
I know. And, like, I've known you guys for 2 years, and even less than 24 hours ago, my mom called me and is like, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you with a bunch of guys with guns?
Yes. Guys with guns. So, Maddie came back for her birthday, and she is here with us in Iowa, and we are actually in Nebraska currently snow goose hunting for conservation season. And so I brought her along, and this is where we are. And I'll have Abby insert the clip of that phone call because that was hilarious.
Yeah, my mom was definitely freaking out.
Yeah, I was pissing my pants last.
She was also a little tipsy, so
she had wine.
She did have wine. She was feeling herself.
It's me and Brittany. And a bunch of grown men.
Girls?
Grown men.
What's the better lock the door?
We're all staying in the same house. There's no doors. No, there's no doors on our room. Mom, we're gonna be fine.
You better be.
We'll be okay. Brittany's got her gun. Everyone here's got guns. Nothing's gonna happen. We're not in the hood.
You're in the...
Are you? Dare. Brittany, all like 120 pounds of her wet, she'll protect me.
How many snow gooses are you gonna get?
Well, there's no limit, so.
Oh, nice.
They're actually a menace to society, so we're gonna kill all of them.
Are
you? Yeah.
Okay, so welding, let's get into your career. What is it like to be a female in a male dominated workforce?
You know, it's not as bad as you think it would be. There's always going to be people who want to see you fail. And, you know, going into it, I was told that it was going to be just like how it was in the 70s. And I was going to get harped on every day by every single person and that I wouldn't succeed. And honestly, when I got to trade school, I found out that it's really not that bad. I think in my graduating class, I had 5 or 6 girls.
Okay.
And that was encouraging.
Yeah.
And they all still weld to this day. And at my current job, when I started, they welcomed me with open arms. And that was surprising, especially being an outsider. I'm the only female welder at our company. And I didn't know how things were going to go. But, you know, they were very nice. Yeah, you never know what to expect. And there's always going to be people, like I said. There's this one guy at work who gives me a hard time. He's just an old timer. And, you know.
But does it just, like, drive you to do more and want to better yourself?
Yes.
Succeed.
And just prove him wrong.
Yes. It's like, satisfying.
He told me the other day at work that I told him I've been welding for 2 years now, just about, and he said, 2 years? You don't even know how to weld. And I looked at him and I'm like, okay. And
excuse the fuck?
Yeah. Later that day I finished the order and I got it done and I got on a plane to come see you.
You're from New York, huh?
Unfortunately.
And I, you know, doing school projects and such, I was such a fan of New York just because of New York, New York. I loved the city. I don't know why. I know I'm such a good, big old country girl. I just loved New York. So tell me what it is like to live in New York.
Well, first of all, you say New York and people automatically assume New York City.
Yes.
And I don't live in New York City. I live in upstate New York. I border Canada. It's a lot different than what people think of. There's a lot of farmland outside of our city. There's city, there's all types of suburbs, suburban, urban, country, all of that. You find your place, you find your niche, and you go where you fit in, and you do what you can. You know, there's going to be people out there that have different views or different beliefs in you, and you just have to go with the flow and, you know, try and take life one punch at a time. But politics-wise, New York State is literally the worst state. I mean, our governor, Kathy Hochul, like, literally woke up one day out of her coffin. Yep. Sounding like that. Woke up one day out of her coffin, wiped the dust off of her, and then went to work.
Like, and, I mean, Jesus, Murph. I mean, is she, like, what is going on?
She's a libtard.
What the fuck is going on? So let's talk about that thing you were telling me about earlier.
Yeah, so I believe it was a couple weeks ago there was... Well, let me preface this. Kathy Hochul has been busing, like, tens, if not... Maybe not hundreds, but, you know, buses and buses of migrants down to New York City to house them. So a couple weeks ago in Times Square, there was this group of migrants, and they were on the sidewalk, and they were causing kind of a traffic jam. And a couple police officers went up to them and asked them to disperse so that the traffic can get by. They did, but didn't. So, you know, the cops walk away, and on the way back, like on the walk back, these migrants came up behind them and just started attacking these police officers.
The fuck?
And in their arrest report, it was just, you know, like this, like, fuck the cops, fuck 12, fuck the pigs, and it was all the migrants, and they had no remorse for what they did. I mean, one of the cops had serious injuries. They were on the ground, like, stomping, curb stomping them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You were also saying how, and even people you know personally in your own life, who have been offered to house these people.
Yeah.
Like, they're not getting paid. These are families... Normal, plain Jane people that have been asked, hey, can you house these immigrants?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay you, just, you know, if you're willing
handouts.
To. What the fuck is that? Free, I mean, these people are getting free health, basically free health care. Yep. They can vote. I mean, U.S. Virgin Islands, it's a territory, but people that live in the U.S. Virgin Islands can't even fucking vote.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me illegal immigrants can. And so I want to jump right into... this topic, it's going viral all over social media. I'm sure you've heard of it. 22-year-old Lakin Riley, a nursing student from Georgia, was murdered while jogging on her way home. Close, I don't know if it was on university campus or if it was nearby. Didn't know the person who murdered her. It was a 26-year-old man named Jose Antonio Abira. I hope I'm saying it right. He is illegally living in the United States since September of 2022. He's from Venezuela, and the charges he faces from this is felony murder, malice murder, I'm going to say it wrong, aggravated battery, and assault. It was confirmed he was in the United States illegally. It was confirmed. Like, there's no funny business, there's no funny play anywhere.
Yeah.
It's insane. What is happening in the
United
States?
It is
insane. How many illegal people are here? I just saw the statistics the other day.
I don't even know, but...
it's in the billions. Millions or billions. It's not billions, Jesus.
And guess what happens when you get more migrants? Crime rate increases. Economy increases. Prices, you know, inflation. Like, everything that has already been worse in the United States just got 10 times worse because they keep flowing people in through the borders.
Yeah, and guess who they're voting for?
The people who are letting them in.
Yes, and the people, meaning the fucking guy that is sitting in his nursing home room residency.
Mm-hmm.
slurping on ice cream, probably sniffing some kid somewhere.
Yeah.
Dumb fuck. Okay, I tell you what.
I don't know.
All right. Next topic. So besides welding, you also work for a company called Brewbags.
Yes.
And Brewbags is officially the sponsor for this episode.
Yep.
And it will be monetized, which is so exciting for me because this is my first ever monetized episode. So just tell me a little bit about Brewbags and what you gifted me coming here.
So another reason that I came out to visit Austin and Brittany, I mean, besides our friendship, was that we wanted to gift Austin and Brittany a special set of boards from Brewbag with their AB logo and the Mad Hatter logo, which, as many of you know, Mad Hatter was one of the first brands that they ever worked with, so it means a lot to them. And I flew all the way here, brought the boards on the plane, and I was like, hey, Britt, I want you guys to open this, and I want your complete, honest reaction. And I didn't leak any pictures to them. They had no idea what it was going to look like. And
I was so excited.
Like, watching them open it just made my heart warm because I knew that they loved it. Not because I was trying to push it on them, but because they thought it was cool and they liked how it looked.
Yes, and so I want to tell you, like, the concept, because I play bags in cornhole with Austin. I just don't like the concept, and I never keep score because it's confusing.
Yeah.
Like, it just is. And you.
Especially when you've been drinking.
Yes, when you have been drinking, you're kidding me?
Yeah.
I can't even remember what the fuck I ate. Like, what?
So Brewbag is cornhole gameplay with beer pong rules. So pretty much, you think of a cornhole board, there's just one hole, and they're a little bit bigger. Our boards are slightly smaller, and they have 6 cups in the orientation of beer pong cups. So you throw a bag, you make it in a hole, you cover the hole. And that's, you know, the same as taking a cup away in beer pong. The first team to get all 6 holes covered wins the game, and it's a lot faster. You know, the holes, when you cover them, it keeps score for itself, and you don't have to. There's no numbers, there's no math. You look at the boards, and it tells you what the score is. And gameplay just runs a little bit smoother.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, we played a couple games on camera, and then, like, even several more off camera. And Austin just kept saying, let's play another one, let's play another one, let's play another one.
It's such a fun... I don't know, it's a fun concept.
It's different, and that's what we're trying to integrate into the Midwest and down south and, you know, see where else it takes us.
Yeah, and if you play cornhole or bags, it also helps you with shot placement.
Yeah, you can practice your shot placement, and even if you want to play cornhole, all you got to do is just open up the center hole, and you have cornhole boards, but you also have another game integrated in with it.
So with all this warm weather that has been circulating everywhere in the United States, this is the perfect time to start considering summer games. And this would be the perfect summer, spring game to get the warm weather kicked off. So Brewbags, get you a pair.
Brewbag.com. Brubag.com.
Yes.
So I have some questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting off, I was originally a fan of you guys, but now I'm friends with you. Mm-hmm. And there was things that I was interested in, and I'm sure the viewers are interested in too. And one of the main things is your relationship with Austin. And obviously you don't want to be the person that airs everything out online, but, you know, having a conversation with someone is a little bit deeper than replying to someone's comment on TikTok. Yeah. So I guess my question is, when was the moment that you really knew that Austin was the one, or that you could see him being your life partner?
So, if you are like an OG follower, you kind of knew the setup and situation of how quickly things did move for Austin and I. Like, it was quick. And I don't know, I know my emotions were fully processed because I wouldn't have gotten to a relationship that quick if I didn't know if he was the one.
Yeah.
And I knew he was the one, and I just can't explain it. There was not a moment where I thought, oh, he's the one. It was just like a slow, because we started out as friends, hanging out as super good friends, and then it turned into something that was much larger than just friends hanging out, drinking beer, getting hammered every single night in the basement. So, yeah, I mean,
that's okay too, though. Like, to just know.
Yeah.
And not have a reason.
He's huge on family. He loves his nieces and nephews. He's so good with kids. I know that where he is in life, he's mature enough to realize that, you know, I'm not just with him to waste time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no funny business. Mm-hmm. None at all. Like, he's the most loyal, most respectful man any woman could ever ask for.
He is. And I mean,
and he has his moments, but everybody has their moments.
Even just being friends with him, I feel so much better knowing that he's going to respect me and he's going to take care of me in a sense that, you know, let's say we're out and some guy does something or something happens, he's going to stand up for me.
Oh, fuck yeah. And guess who taught him that? His sisters.
And his
mom. And his mom, but mainly his sisters would whoop him.
Oh, yeah?
Would literally whoop him.
I didn't know that. Respected.
Yes, his sisters and his mother.
But it's nice. He's just a different guy. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, he's been there for me through my ups and downs. And
he knows how to make a person laugh.
Yeah, he really does. And, you know, not so much recently, but he really helped me get through some dark moments in my life. And just the way he was able to talk me down and, you know, cheer me up and look at the bright side of every situation, that's something that I have a hard time with. And for him to just be able to do that with, like, nothing, it just amazes me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him.
He's nice.
Yeah, I love him for who he is. Yeah.
My next question is, you know, for those of you that don't know, Austin gave Brittany a promise ring not too long ago. And, you know, it's not an official engagement, but I was wondering, have you guys picked out rings?
Okay, so it's a good topic because so many people ask me about it, and it's such a common question that I just blow right past it. Yeah. Like, I don't give you even the time of day.
Well, you also don't want people to think that you're pressuring him into something.
Yes, that's also...
That's not what's happening.
Yep. And especially being on social media, you know, we're already setting ourselves up for failure. Like, people bully us on the daily, mm-hmm. so we can expect everything. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, I do have, like, a style of ring that I have picked out, and he knows exactly what it is. It's pretty similar to this. And this is a princess cut. Like, this is a hard, square princess cut. And there's a lot of miscommunication in our relationship when it comes to the talk of marriage. Because I think social media does have a play in...
Oh, for sure.
...me not wanting to bring anything up. Because it is a lot of pressure. Like, you see comments all the time. Every day, he's like, oh, there's another 10 years added on to when I'm not going to propose to you because another person asked.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... I mean, yes, a lot of people do want to see us married because we've been together for 3 years. But then again, I just wish people could respect our pace and our time and privacy. Because we did rush things. We bought a house at 4 months. 4 months in, we move in. It's crazy. Now we're soaking it all in.
And I think that, you know, talking about this is going to help clarify things. You know, everyone's on their own timeline. Some people are just curious.
Yeah, it's not because we don't love each other. I've been seeing a lot of TikToks about that.
I was talking to Britt on the way here, and, like, I genuinely look up to your guys' relationship. Like, you guys set a precedent that you should never lower your standards and that you should always seek what you deserve. And, you know, it's not necessarily that you guys have influenced me through your videos on TikTok. It's because I get to see it and I get to see the way that you guys treat each other. And it really just makes my heart warm because there's not many of that type of relationships out there anymore.
I will say, if anybody needs relationship advice, I will just say, do not get yourself into a relationship when you don't even know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And that's so simple to say, but it means the most sense. It really does.
And even me, for the longest time, I would think that getting into a relationship, I would be able to fix my problems with someone.
And it creates more.
It just creates more because you don't have your own shit figured out, and then you're adding another person with their own shit. So now you have double the amount of shit, and it's just chaos.
Right. But, I mean, you know, if you find a happy balance. And everybody's different.
Yeah, everyone's different. But, you know, it does make it easier to have your shit together.
Yes.
And know yourself and know what you want. For real.
Yeah. So, as you guys know, I am a big bow hunter, new to waterfowl. I'm all in for it. Maddie is a big fisherman.
Yes.
And we are trying to swap traits. So I'm trying to lure her into some duck hunting. That's what we're doing now. But I want to get into fishing. My dad's a huge fisherman. I don't fish much. It doesn't intrigue me all that much. We just got back from a fisherman swap meet, and my dad and Maddie were having like a heyday.
Yeah, like I was asking Brittany what everything was, and I'm like, hey, what's this?
A bag of donuts.
A bag of donuts.
What was it?
It was a bag of plastics. Do you know what plastics is?
Titties? Elvis?
No. Plastics are like the rubber...
Condom?
No. Plastics are the rubber bodies of the bait that you're using. So you put it on a hook. And that's like rubber crawdad or rubber worm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Purr.
Yeah.
Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah, I was not having it. I like hunting shot shows. I did not like fishing shot shows. But anyways.
But on the other hand, there are people who it was their first time hunting.
Yes, like you today.
Like me.
Well, no, that wasn't your first time. And it was pretty brutal. It got so windy. The forecast said 70 degrees.
Yeah, I almost pulled up in shorts, and I'm so glad that I didn't.
40 mile per hour wind.
Yeah, wind chill, real temp, feels like, was like...
10 degrees. 10 Seriously, degrees. 10 degrees. Sun's just fucking beaming.
I had to leave, like, halfway through the day to go get my bibs and my coat.
It was so cold.
It was brutal.
And honestly, I was going to call you a crybaby in the first half, but you really pulled it through, and I started feeling cold.
Well, I had on a pair of jeans and a hoodie.
Yes.
That's it.
And I did feel bad for you, dude. I felt so bad for you.
It is what it is. You live and you learn.
She asked me, like, should I bring my bibs? I'm like, nah, I think we'll be fine. The weather was very deceiving.
It was.
We could have planned accordingly.
Well, you live and you learn. Now you know.
Yeah, you live and you learn. So, I'm a hunter and she's a fisherman and we just kind of want to swap trades. And so I'm trying to get into fishing and she's trying to get into hunting. And so tell me about your experience and how deeply related fishing is to you and your life.
So, ever since I was a little girl, my dad has taught me how to fish, and I've been going with him since I can literally remember. My family has a property up in Ontario, Canada, and it's been in the family for 100 years. This is its 100th year anniversary. It's on an island in the middle of the lake, and you have to take a boat to get there.
How sick is that?
There's no running water, no electricity, so everything's off the grid. And the lake is fucking stocked with bass.
And when she says stocked, like, okay, I don't fish and all that.
Like 6-plus pounders every cast.
My dad stayed with us when she was at my house, and they got talking about fishing. And she said her personal best, what, 10 pound?
10-2.
10-2.
Yeah.
My dad's like, no way, you're lying. Showed her the pictures. He deadass thought she was lying.
I showed him the picture and he got quiet. And if you know Big Daddy Rock Dog from TikTok, you know that he can talk. So when I found a way to make him quiet, I was like, whoa, this must mean something to him.
It took me by surprise too. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. Like, Maddie's legit.
I appreciate that.
And people seriously underestimate females just because we're simply females. And I don't mean to be feminist or anything like that, but we've got more fucking caliber behind our buttholes than you think. Okay? I mean, as simple as that. So yeah, we had a medium come in for my mom's birthday. Maddie's birthday and my mom's birthday all in the same time. We had a medium come in and talk really quickly about that.
So, I was very, very skeptical going in, and...
We all were.
Yeah. I told Brittany, I was like, there's no way this is real. But the brief chance that it is, I would like to get something from my grandmother who recently passed away. And she started doing readings. Time goes on. You know, she's nailing everyone's spot on. And then the night, like, starts to fizzle down. And there's, like, a two-minute period where she's just silent. And then she starts naming all these things. And when she started naming these things, we were supposed to raise our hand if it correlated with you. And I was the only person raising my hand. It was crazy. She started doing
personal things.
Personal things that no one would know. Like, stuff that I haven't even told anyone. And one of the things that came up was fishing. And how I go to fish and clear my head. And, you know, a lot of people go to fish or do...
Specifically at night.
At night.
That's what she said.
And that's, alone.
That's weird, Maddie. I tell you what, that is kind of fucking weird.
Yeah, because you don't know that many females that are going fishing by themselves at night. I mean, at least where I'm from. I mean, there's a select few of us, but, like, you got to be crazy to do it. So...
Whatever sets your soul on fire.
Yep. So, she said that this... My spirits are with me when I'm fishing. And I thought to myself, I'm like, yeah, like, that's my time to decompress. That's when I, like, talk to my grandma and all my loved ones that have passed and kind of just mellow down in life. And it was very weird. She just said, your spirits want you to know that they're with you at all times and that they love you and they're always going to be there when you're fishing.
Something about how they're living through how you fish. She correlated that somehow.
They're living...
Like their spirits...
Their spirits are living through our fishing.
Or whatever, through Maddie fishing.
And I just thought that was crazy because I do it all the time. I just think nothing of it. So then the last thing was that my grandmother wanted to end the conversation with a gift of some sorts. That's kind of what she called it.
Yeah.
A closing. And that just means that, you know, they're going to end the conversation and they're going to move on to the next. And the thing was, the thing that my grandmother wanted to end with was pennies. And she said,
coins.
What?
Coins, nickels, pennies, coins.
Yeah, coins, nickels, pennies. And she said that, you know, I'm going to be finding coins in the upcoming days. And when you travel, you don't really bring cash. I mean, I don't, at least. I didn't bring any cash on this trip. I went to bed that night and woke up, you know, I wore pajama shorts and a t-shirt with no pockets.
Yeah, like when you travel, you know exactly what's with you.
Like, I had no change on me. And also, Brittany just washed the sheets.
I did. I literally had Maddie put the sheets on.
Yeah, like, I took them out of the dryer and put them on the bed. And there was nothing on my bed. I wake up the next morning. I go take a shower. Literally in my towel. I go back to my room. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because I'm looking for my socks. And I scream for Brittany. And I'm like, Brittany, come here. And I'm, like, half naked. And she comes in, and she's like, what am I looking at?
I had no idea what she was showing me.
And I was like, dude, look at what's on my bed. It was a fucking penny. And I'm like, I just thought that was so weird. And even Brittany thought that was so weird. So then we go out to the living room, and we ask the boys, like, were any of you guys in my room?
Nobody.
No one.
Literally nobody.
Was in my room, like, I think for the whole trip.
And they were there, like, they weren't at the reading or anything, so they wouldn't even have any idea.
They wouldn't have even known to put it there, because, like you said, they weren't there.
Right.
So I just thought that was weird, but it's kind of weird how everything connected back through fishing, which is my passion, and it really put a perspective on things that, even though what I'm doing might not matter to other people, it matters to me. And that's the gratification for why I do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I literally got chills when she was, like, connecting all the dots.
Yeah.
And before we went into the medium, Maddie was like, if she knocks off this, if she talks about this, if she brings up this, everything that Maddie had talked about in that conversation that we had before going into the medium, she nailed it.
And, like, I'm from New York, and this medium was from Iowa.
Yeah.
So, like, she would have had no idea how to search this information. She didn't even know my name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was a cool experience.
Yeah, so I will be taking Maddie to, well, actually, she's driving me to the airport. We've got a 4-hour drive to the Des Moines airport. We're leaving here at midnight.
And about an hour and a half, or 2 hours.
She's going to be flying to New York. So, yeah. All right, y'all. That is all we have time for today. I want to express my gratitude to all my listeners. I want to encourage you to give it a like, give it a follow, give a review, subscribe, buy some brew bags, get you some brew bags.
Yeah. And this episode is brought to you by Brew Bag. BRUBAG.com. Go get you some.
Next episode, you'll probably see stuff about the Isle of Deer Classic, which is this weekend. I will be there. If you'll be there, perfect. You won't even see this until a couple weeks later. Yeah. Like, subscribe, drop a follow, comment, leave a review. Would mean the world. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm going to miss you.
I know. Me too. I'll be back.
Okay. Perfect.
You'll see more of me.
Fellow Pharaohs, out.